Welcome to the Barons Hideout Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin.
And I'm your co-host, Dean, and we'd like to let you know where you can find us.
The best way to find our socials is on our link tree at the Barons Hideout, which has our Twitter, Instagram, and podcast links.
And you can find me on Instagram at Dean of the Dead Hot Sauce, on Facebook under Dean Sharp, and also my website, www.deanofthedead.com.
Lastly, if you wish to support us further, you can subscribe to our Patreon for $1 a month. Now, to the show. I'm your host, Dustin, and here we are discussing a new film that came out last week, or the week before, I think it was last week, was the release date of this. We're going to be talking about Late Night with the Devil. I keep wanting to say Last Night with the Devil, which I think is also, it probably could have used that as well. But this is a film that I saw over the weekend, because I wasn't able to go see it, and this last. I didn't really look up anything for this film. I went into it pretty much completely blind, other than I think the first couple of stills that were shown about this film, when it was talked about early on. It was a still of like the weird face that was creeping a lot of people out. And knowing that this was also a Shudder film, or was going to be going to Shudder, because it's an IFC film, and I'm pretty sure IFC has a kind of like a Shudder, because they have a lot of the films over there. I didn't know what I was really getting myself into when I was going to see this film. I knew that it was based at 70, so it had kind of that grit feeling to it. The film was going to be stylized like it was back then. I'm not sure if they used the same type of cameras back then. I was trying to look it up online, could not find any answers. Yeah, this was definitely a film that pretty much took me by surprise, and we will be getting into that in a little bit. But first, let's go ahead and go over the synopsis and what this movie is essentially about. So, the synopsis, very brief. A live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's. And I've seen a lot of people kind of compare this to Ghostwatch. You know, the UK for TV movie that scared a ton of people back then, which is definitely a film that I think everybody should go watch. If you enjoyed this, go watch Ghostwatch. So some of the cast, it's pretty short cast. I mean, there's a bunch of like extras and stuff since it's filmed like in a, or essentially, you know, like it would have been back in the 70s. Or even like up until now. So we have David Dastmalchian, who's been in everything lately. He's been, you know, outside of the comic book world that he's still doing his comic with, I'm pretty sure. That's pretty badass. I saw a couple issues first came out. It was the horror comic. I totally forget what it's called because it's been a while since I've read any of it. But he was in The Last Voyage. He was in another movie I watched. Dune, I'm pretty sure. So he plays Jack Delroy, who is a host of this this series or television show. And then we have Lauren Gordon, who plays June Ross Mitchell, who is a pretty big role later on in the film. We have Ian Bliss, who plays Carmichael Haig, plays a skeptic and a guy who magician, I'm pretty sure. And then we have, I'm going to butcher this one. Oof. Basail Bazazi, who plays Christu, who is a, he's essentially a psychic. Rums, senses, spirits, stuff like that in the world. And then we have Ingrid Torelli. Plays Lily, who is the girl in this film, who very, very important. And we have Reese Osteri, who plays Gus McConnell, who's also kind of a big person in this film. He definitely a big fixture because he's the co-host of this film, like comedic effects and stuff like that. Georgina Haig, who plays Madeline Piper. And that's pretty much it. Madeline is very, very important to the story because Jack Delroy's not wife, but girlfriend. They were together for a long time. And let's see, what have we got? It was also directed by Cameron Cains and O'Carneys and Colin Carneys, their brothers. And they also wrote the film. IMDb, they rate it a 7.5 out of 10 with over 5,000 reviews. So that's pretty good for a newer film that just came out over the week. Rotten Tomatoes, let's see if they have anything different to say about the synopsis. They do. They have a little bit of a longer one, but we'll go ahead and do this one. Johnny Carson rival Jack Delroy hosts a syndicate talk show, Night Owls, that has long been a trusted companion to insomniacs around the country. However, ratings for the show have plummeted since the tragic death of Jack's beloved wife. Oh, was married? Oh, now I'm confused because in the movie, regardless, blah, blah, blah. Despite to turn his fortunes around, on October 31st, 1977, Jack plans a Halloween special like no other. Unaware, he is about to unleash evil living rooms of hell, as that's kind of what happens. So let's see. Okay, it was released March 22nd of this year, 2024. It has grossed so far in the U.S. $2.8 million. Runtime is an hour and 33 minutes, and distributed by IFC Films. Nothing really else to kind of, I think, pick from Rotten Tomatoes other than the scores, which the Tomato Meter, with 148 reviews, sitting at 97%. The critics are loving it. An audience score with 250-plus ratings is... That's pretty damn good, man. So what do I want to talk about with this film? I guess we can do, you know, quick, spoiler free section, all thoughts. For those of you who were wondering if you don't watch this one, I will say that if you like, cause this is kind of in the realm of found footage sort of, cause it's, essentially a lost episode, but a bunch of, extra, they put behind the scenes things that were happening when they were cutting to commercials, stuff like that. So you saw a lot of the backstage banter and how it is beyond like a live show, I imagine, but it seemed beyond like a live show like that, when you'd run into the back and adjust makeup back on, you'd discuss what the next segment is, make sure you're lined up. So there's a lot of that going on in the background. Also a lot of other little subtle things that people are saying, like one part, this isn't really a spoiler, this is one part that keeps consistently happening, is that the main camera guy who is in control of everything, he's Roger, make sure that all the cameras are good, camera crews are all set. It's essentially like the elite stagehand, I would say. He keeps getting a word from one of the cameramen that there's something on the screen, but like, well, we don't see anything down here on this screen, blah, 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 there's nothing. Everybody's like, well, I see it in the camera, but he's like, ah, whatever, we're just gonna keep going. So that kind of happens throughout the night multiple times. There is a reveal later on, which I will discuss in spoilers for anybody who wants to come with that. And going back to obviously non-spoilers, is the atmosphere of this film. I think they nailed it. They nailed it. With someone like me growing up with I used to live with my Nana, my grandmother. I love watching old shows from like the 60s, 70s. And this really feels like it would have been fitting right in with those late night shows. Like they talk about Johnny Carson a lot in here. Cause big head on late night TV talk shows back then. So that's his main competitor. So I do have to give them props for making this very authentic, like it was back then. It was something that was just discovered, and now we're being able to see this. When you get to the end, where, you know, some special effects are necessary, it still feels like it's part of that time. And we will get into that. What else can I say? The acting is amazing. All around, I want to say that every, like, individual person, obviously different persona, got the guy who's a skeptic who's trying to prove wrong by giving them money if they can, you know, prove that they are, in fact, what they're saying they are. And then you have Christu, who is the guy who's able to feel things around. And what he puts on at first, you're like, nah, this guy's a fake. And then things happen, and you're like, oh, crap. Wow, that's pretty fucking scary. And then we have, obviously, the main co-host, who's Seth Mulgen. He's amazing in everything, I have to say. He has such charisma on screen. And when he did, like, the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards, when he was probably still doing, and he's playing, like, the other character on those, he's great. But he can deliver lines and really act out is amazing. I'm trying to think if there's any point in the film where I was like, I can kind of just not pay attention. But this film had me the entire time. I was not thinking else. I was so glued just to be like, what's going to happen next? It was amazing. So yeah, I guess I'm going to end my final thoughts right here because I want to go into some spoilers. But this is definitely a film. Have the chance to go see it in the theater with an audience like I did. Please go see it. It's definitely experience, especially towards the later half of the film. There's a lot of like setup and build up that's happening, obviously, in the first half. Any other film, but this one it's special with what it's doing and what it's saying. It's amazing. So please go ahead and go watch this. But for anybody who is not going to be listening to the spoilers, I'll go ahead and give you my rating right now. I'm going to end up giving this thing like a 9.5 out of 10 because how much fun I had watching this and how much I'm still thinking about it and coming home and it kind of still haunting me in a way. 9.5 out of 10 because this film definitely gave me what I'm always looking for in a horror film, of making me feel either uneasy, in some way kind of threatened, or just overall scared. Like, it definitely gave me that feeling I'm always going for. 9.5 out of 10. I'm knocking it a couple points because there's some things in here that I think probably could have been better. But overall, the film was amazing. So, guys, for listening to non-spoiler, we're going to go right into this. 3, 2, 1, boom. Spoiler section. All right. So what can I pick apart right now that I really want to talk about? I'm urging myself not go towards the end of the film. So I think the main thing, or the first thing I want to talk about, is Christu's performance. Because you have all the setup of, you know, Jack, he's like on his high rise, right? Signs with the UB network. You have his show shown for multiple seasons at this time. He's got the slot. He's good. He's got his wife. They're amazing, which I thought was his girlfriend, because later on they say, I'll say it right here, they say that Christu or sees somebody who's a man, the ring, but he's not wed. Like, he's not married. So when that happened, I was like, well, but that's part of his performance before that. So going back to the high rise of Night Owls, is Jack essentially trying to compete with Johnny Carson? There's a time after he's like on this high, he's going through his ratings, like going good. And then they start plummeting a little bit. And that's the main focus of this film. But why did they do this Halloween special? Get ratings up. People want to watch Night Owls. They want to watch Jack. And so he gets his ensemble of people who come on the show. And we also get introduced to satanic cults We have some footage of that happening, and then we find out that there was a cult who decided to burn down a building with everybody inside, and then one girl who was saved, her name was Lily, was then saved and adopted by June, who is somebody who works paranormal shit. Okay, she's a paranormal doctor, I'm going to say. She helps Lily kind of go in and out of this other person that that's inside her, essentially. Like this demon that the cult was trying to conjure. So that's pretty much what's happening throughout this film, and then things happen at the end. But I want to go right back to Christu. So the first person that comes on Night Owl's show for the Halloween special is Christu. Jack warms everybody up with him because he can read, talk, side essentially, like guessing names. Then like right, but he's not right at the same time for the first couple. And then there's one that he nails, and it says that there's like a mother and a daughter, and they talk about their brother slash son who killed themselves, and he kind of got in a conversation with that. And then there's this last one, which goes back to a man who wed, whereas I mean a man who wears a ring who's not wed, who lost somebody. I forget the name. Fast, I need to watch it again to get the names to stick, but nobody owns up to it, and Christu gets like possessed, like his eyes roll in the back, and then gets kind of sick, and then they cut to a commercial, and also like things start flickering and get weird. So they cut to a commercial, they get him some water, and he's coughing a lot, but they keep him on, and then they bring on Carmichael, who's the next guy. And Carmichael is there to kind of prove that what Christu was doing was false. He was doing this, blah, 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 blah. And he's kind of like this snarky, I know things better than you person, right? And so he's testing people, annoying people. He's saying that Christu is fake. It's getting him upset. And then Christu starts coughing a lot, like really sick. They want to take him out. So he goes to leave. He also gets mad, so he gets up to leave because Carmichael's like pissing him off. And then he just all of a sudden starts puking out this black liquid. Commercial. What's happening behind the scenes. Carmichael is like, oh, well, he was doing that. That's fake, blah, blah, blah. They rush him off to the hospital. And then it comes a time where Jack introduces. But that's when we get some more of the talking about what they were trying to summon and burning in the building. Lily comes on. She's a creepy kid, like it would be. You know? Hey, Jack, nice to see you again. And Jack's like, I don't think I've ever met. And then we start to find out that the other being inside her essentially knows of Jack. So how she was saying, oh, over the last week or so, like, she was having these dreams and saying how she's so excited to meet Jack and blah, blah, and or how that she knows Jack and talks about trees, all these other things. There's also another thing that they talk about that Jack goes to is, like, a society for men that are well off and, you know, have a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, there's always some kind of weird thing happening with rich people. World, right? So she thinks that's part of that, but also June warns Jack we should not do this because Lily been very unstable, hard to kind of get her back around. But Jack's like the ratings, right? And also his manager who's on stage with him too, well, in the background is saying, oh, she's getting cold feet, blah, blah, blah. But they go on with it, and then Carmichael is, you know, picking at them and everything. And then they get to this point that's really off, where Jack says they should let this inner being out of Lily, let kind of do essentially aeons or summoning, as you will, on live TV. Ratings up, and also he's like, don't you want people in? This is like the whole point of why you do this. And then so they go and do that, and getting gets possessed. She's floating. Things are, you know, breaking, and there's electricity and all this crap. And then, you know, also Carmichael's like, well, that's all fake, blah, blah, blah. And also, they have guy in the background who's Gus. So they have him as a puppet, essentially, because he's back there with the band. He was talking to Jack. He's also kind of a skeptic and very into his beliefs. Well, he's not really a skeptic. He's really into his beliefs. So he's like telling Jack, we should not do this. You're messing with things you don't know, blah, blah, blah. So really warning him, saying, not be doing this. So there's been a lot of times where people are telling Jack, just don't do this or do it. There's a lot more encouragement of doing it before the ratings, but you have this one guy or even two, essentially. So what do? They let Carmichael do the same thing. Gus hypnotized. He hypnotizes pretty much everybody in the city. And there's a point where they find out that he's afraid of worms. So then he starts like worms out of him, and he rips open his belly, worms, and there's a giant worm that comes out of his eye, which I think is cool. Really, really awesome practical effects. And then Carmichael wakes him up. None of it happened. And this is the part where shit really hits. Jack goes, let's play back the clips, because Carmichael does not believe that what June and Liz were doing was real, and that they hypnotized everybody. So he says, I will believe that they were doing that, really, if it comes back on the screen like it does theirs, because they watch it and it's no worms, nothing. That's like. So then they play back the clip, and it's exactly what had happened when we saw it earlier. Then Carmichael's like, has to be low. No. But Jack sees something on E flicker, and there's something in the background. So he's saying, okay, roll it back. Okay, go frame by frame. So there's a lot of tension and to figure out what is going on frame by frame. I'm getting chills just thinking about it right now. Frame by frame. Bam. It's his dead wife who had cancer. I forgot that earlier. His wife had cancer, but Jack was gone for a while. I think about a year or so. And then he came back to did the special to kind of recover. I think about a year. And so everything that was said earlier from Christu, Jack's like, I knew it was me. So she was there, like essentially holding him. Then goes into Lily, and she like starts like floating, and then her like starts getting like electrocuted. Essentially, becomes like all static. Everybody's freaking out. At the same time, all this is happening. Before then, most of the crew was like, "I'm out of here. I don't want to be here. This is creepy." Blah blah blah. So Lily, she like legit gets like possessed, whatever. And then her head splits. Right, her head splits. And starts killing people. She burns. Gus, I'm pretty sure. Then Carmichael. She does something to Carmichael, but I forget what it is. And then with Lily, she essentially gets decapitated by her necklace that you bring back. Be Lily. And Jack just runs into the back. But then he starts going into like mind. Reliving moments, and it's like a weird like Inception type thing where he's like watching things that happened with him already being or seeing his wife again dying deathbed, then comes back after time where his wife is saying tell me, grabs a dagger which was out on a table that was used to bolt, grabs a dagger and kills his wife, and then comes back to reality, and it's Lily. Lily is dead. This ending is so weird. And then it kind of just like stops, and then like nothing else. They have like a little bit of a blurb there that says something. But yeah, it's a crazy film. So, like I said earlier, a non-spoiler, I'm giving this 9.5 out of 10 because I think it was brilliant. It's super fun. I got home like really freaked out, like, oh my god, what if that's like actually something that could happen? Like, here, like, I know, dead, be next to me, like, possess somebody and kill somebody, whatever it may be, or make me like hallucinate potentially back. And I'm like, wow, I just did something really, really bad. Really, really, really fun, super fun film. I was reading up, and this kind of stupid, but I know why people are upset about it, is that the director/writers said that there were 3 images used in here created by AI, but then they enhanced it after they got the AI and they kind of like reworked it. I know that AI is something that everybody's really scared of and are like saying, let's not use that because it's inhumane or you're just replacing people, which I get. I totally get it. But I think in this scenario with them taking something that was made and then retaking it and crafting it else, I don't know what those 3 images are. I want to know what they are, so I'm probably going to go back and read more, or let me know in the comments below if you guys know. That way I can go, and when I rewatch this, I know, look for and see how bad it really is. But I didn't think anything looked out of place or AI-esque film, but hey, maybe it went so fast I didn't realize it. But yes, this is definitely a film to go check out in the theater. If not, then you can wait for it to drop on Shudder or VOD, but please put it in the theater. Really, really good film. Super fun. I felt like it kind of revived horror a little bit in this kind of realm of, you know, old for modern. If that makes any sense. There's a lot of films, like one of my favorite movies out there from Ty West is The House of the Devil. Funny because it's Late Night with the Devil. House of the Devil, that one looks like an 80s, early 90s film, which was filmed in 2000s. And this is a film that's filmed in 2023, and was made to look like 7. I think they did an amazing job, and I need more films that are like this, that can pull it off like this. But that's pretty much all I have to say about this film. Go check it out. Let me know what you guys think. If you've already seen it, comment below. Rate the show, share the show. If you guys listen to this on YouTube, share it around. If you're audio platforms, please share it around or rate it. It really helps me get more listeners and or watchers on the show. Thank you guys so much for being here. This is a super fun one. I have another one I want to try to put out this week as well. And then I have a out this week as well. So thank you guys so much. Catch you on the next. Careful of those talk shows. Have a good one, guys.